Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. What we're going to do this time round is, it's been a while since we recorded a couple of weeks, and there's been plenty of fixtures in the meantime. There's been a strange amount of fixtures, obviously, playing the weekend before and then midweek. So what we're going to do, Jake, if it's okay with you, instead of reading every result out, we're going to pick out a few notable performances, big wins or surprises. So do you want to kick that off with just a game you'd like to pick out initially and maybe a player?
Yeah, so there's a few games you could go off here. I think I'm going to go with the Nottingham Forest win over Luton. Just because it just maintained their form, managed to get them closer to the top two after they'd been slipping up points. So yeah, I thought that was a really good result for them. Thought they played really well as well. Like, there's been times this year where I've watched them pick up points and it's been just like quite a poor game, and then they've just had the difference in grabbing, whereas this was a more complete performance. Really were the dominant team, and then Joe Lawley obviously getting a brace. His second goal in particular was really good. So it was a good performance in that respect. Because he, on his day, is one of the best players in the Championship. And if he can find that form he showed last year in the next few months, then they've got a real chance of securing a playoff spot, definitely. I think if you look at them now, you've got to say they're not firm in those playoff spots, but you'd back them to get there if they can get Lolly and Grab and work playing consistently and both offering a goal threat. You'd think there'd be a lot better for it. And I just want to mention that there were signs there, I thought, for Luton as well, that they shouldn't give up hope yet. I thought there were some positive signs, but it just seems like a lack of quality across the pitch. They were offering a threat and maybe should have put the game to bed in that first half before Nottingham Forest made the comeback. But yeah, there were positive signs for Luton, but they just conceded too many goals. But, you know, I think that wouldn't rule them completely out of it yet, but might need a managerial change to improve things.
Yeah, that were one of the games that we talked about with James on a previous recording, and said that Luton and Forest, despite Forest having the better quality of players, that they play similar football. So yeah, I thought that, you know, on paper it might have seemed a bit easier than it was. So Forest, you know, deserving of the win and you know, overcame that tough fixture. A game that I'd like, in fact, you know what, I'm going to pick out two games for Stoke City because they've just won the last two within the week. They were only the side to play against Swansea on the Saturday. So I'm going to go way back, it seems, to when they beat West Brom 1-0, which was an absolute huge result for them at the time. You know, big win and came as a surprise, getting the victory in that one. And then they've kept another clean sheet at home. Like I say, the only fixture on the Saturday, and that was their 2-0 win against Swansea City. So they've beaten two teams in the space of a week, let's say, and these teams are both in the top half, and again, like I say, a clean sheet to go with it, and that's firmly, you know, driven Stoke pretty well. They were hovering over the relegation zone. They've managed to push themselves into a 19th position now with three wins and a draw in the last four. So yeah, credit to Michael O'Neill there, and they now find themselves 7 points clear of Barnsley, who are in 22nd. I'm going to pick out another game because it relates to me being a Sheffield Wednesday fan. Was Wednesday's drubbing by Blackburn, which was 5-0 to Blackburn on the day, and they just basically tore Wednesday apart. And yes, there was a sending off that's been rescinded in that one with Luongo, but that's probably the worst I've seen Sheffield Wednesday play in at least a few years now. I can't remember the last time they lost 5-0 at home or more was over 20 years ago now. So that was definitely a standout or surprise, if you like. I know Blackburn have been on a decent run of form at times this season, but to go to Hillsborough and absolutely demolish Sheffield Wednesday was a diabolical performance by Wednesday. But yeah, Blackburn came, you know, kept at it and were worthy of their win by a long shot. Are there any other fixtures you'd like to pick out, Jake?
No, I think we've covered all the big ones. There's obviously always stories across the league, but I think those are the main ones that are worthy of discussion at this point.
Yeah, the only other one that I was going to mention quickly was QPR's win over Leeds, again, which seems way back. I know there was an element of luck in that goal, and, you know, we talk about VAR enough in the Premier League, but that had been ruled out. Otherwise, Bamford missed that penalty, didn't he? But that, you know, kept Leeds on a bad run of form. But, you know, in terms of transfers, things might be picking up a bit of late, which we will come on to later. But are there any players that you'd like to pick out that have been, you know, most notable, Jake, in the course of this last week and the games that they've played?
Yeah, there's a few. Obviously, you mentioned Joe Lawley. He was really good in that game for Nottingham Forest. Thought he was excellent. If you look at Stoke, you know, you could look at players throughout that team. At the weekend, Sam Clucas and James McLean were both very, very good, both getting the goals, but both having an influence on the game as a whole. Clucas was an all-action display for me. He was making tackles, he was getting shots away, he was decent on the ball, and looked close to the sort of £15 million signing he was for Stoke when they did sign him. So I thought that was a positive sign for them. Could probably look at a couple of Preston players from their win against Barnsley. Thought that they played really well as a team, but, you know, you've got Fisher getting one of the assists from right back. He had a good game. And obviously Barkhuizen and getting the two goals. So I think those two had good games. And from that QPR game, the thing with QPR is they're so entertaining to watch, and it's sometimes been their demise this year, just how open they are. But they are just, when you watch them, they're so good. You had Samuel and Eze between them completed 13 dribbles against Leeds and just created so much space and created a threat. And it was that direct running that just caused Leeds so many problems on that day. And you know, Leeds felt unfortunate not to have got anything from that. But QPR did cause them problems, and I think that gives them something to build on.
Yeah, definitely. You're correct in saying that. A few players that I'd like to pick out following on from Blackburn's great victory against Sheffield Wednesday. Lewis Holtby managed to score a couple of goals in that game with a brace there. But the standout player for me was Adam Armstrong. He managed to get two assists. And he absolutely at times tore Wednesday's defence apart. You know, it was as though they weren't there. That's probably one of the best games I've seen him play. I thought he was absolutely fantastic and was probably the player of that weekend for me. But other player that I'd like to pick out was Camille Grabara's clean sheet in net for Huddersfield against Brentford. I often try and pick out a goalkeeper nowadays because they often get forgotten about. But Huddersfield, in fact, the whole defence have done well to keep Brentford at bay and not concede a goal in that fixture. Brentford were flying, weren't they? And, you know, managed to get a couple of wins. So for Huddersfield to get a draw in that one, I'm guessing they were relatively pleased, especially, like I say, with the clean sheet where, you know, Huddersfield currently sat in 21st. I bet many people would have had Brentford to win that one. So yeah, credit to the defence and Camille Grabara in goal for Huddersfield in that game. But moving into the topics, Jake, one thing that's been brought up of late again is the club, in fact this time Derby County, which are fighting EFL charges, misconduct charges. Do you feel this is becoming a trend now with clubs, rather than accepting misconduct charges, are beginning to fight back, and what does, you know, what would that mean for the future? Can you see other clubs doing the same and following suit to you know, fight against what the EFL are claiming to be misconduct?
It's a difficult one for the EFL because on the one hand, you've you've got to, if you've got rules there and regulations that you're sticking to, you've got to make sure that they're abided by, and that, you know, normally it's one or two clubs that fall foul of them, and you make an example of them to warn other people, you know, other clubs of making the same errors and, you know, breaking the laws in the same way. But when you've got so many clubs being investigated for misconduct, it's difficult, because you don't want to completely diminish the competition and dishing out 10-point deductions to three or four clubs isn't going to be beneficial to the product. So it's difficult, and it'll be interesting to see how they manage it. I think last year they had an easier task where Birmingham were the only ones under that investigation, but now you've got, you know, three or four clubs and all falling foul of selling their stadium and maybe not valuing it in the correct way. And it's all a bit confusing as to which rules have actually been broken. It seems like there's a lot of reading between the lines and a lot of interpretation that could be taken on these laws. And that's why the clubs are fighting them, because I'm sure they wouldn't have done the things they've done without sound legal advice before making those moves. Because, you know, at the end of the day, they are businessmen, and they want to, although they might want to bend the rules a little bit, I don't think they want to break them. I think they know the risks of doing so. So it's going to be an interesting one for the EFL. I think they've got to have hard punishments. You've got to try and stop this thing happening, these things happening. But when it's so many clubs, it's difficult. You know, it is difficult. But at the same time, there's clubs in the league that haven't done this that are perhaps suffering for it. If Sheffield Wednesday go up and Preston don't, and you know, get a playoff spot and Preston don't, and it's 3 or 4 points to that, you've got the financial advantages that Sheffield Wednesday may have gained from working slightly bit out of the laws or bending the rules may have caused that position. So it's a very difficult one, and I don't envy the EFL at all. And it will be really interesting to see how it goes. But yeah, I think more teams will fight it, because I think all these clubs will have had the legal advice prior to doing whatever they have done.
Yeah, it is very interesting, and like you say, confusing at the same time, because I'm intrigued to see now, with such as Sheffield Wednesday and Derby County fighting these charges, what the outcome's going to be. And like you've just said, that if, let's say, you know, 4-6 months down the line, Sheffield Wednesday or Derby actually win their fight against the EFL, then certainly most clubs in the future are going to be fighting the charges set against them, because, yes, teams are, you know, potentially exploiting loopholes, but at the same time, you know, in terms of valuing the stadium, selling it off, at some point the EFL have agreed with the sale, and yes, it is exploiting a loophole, but then the EFL have now turned around and said, well, we've made a mistake in letting you obviously value the stadium at a certain price, and we've, in Sheffield Wednesday's case, made the mistake of, you know, agreeing that you've sold your stadium, but then it's not been done in the correct time scale. So for me, also, I can see both sides of the story. There has to be rules in place. I don't necessarily agree with them all. I think 39 million loss over 3 years is not quite enough, especially with teams that have, you know, in this day and age, who've got chairmen with millions and millions to spend. It seems a bit unfair. Having a chairman for the first time in what could be their, you know, an era, and can't spend quite enough money that they've got available. But so, yeah, I agree that there's got to be laws set in place. But at the same time, like I say, where do they put a full stop and draw the line? It's a case of the AFL kind of making the rules up as they go along in many ways, and then realising it's been them that's the downfall. So, yes, like Sheffield Wednesday and Derby, they'll have their own, you know, legal advice, and this will continue. So, yeah, for me, it's just a case of seeing what the remaining months bring, and if, in terms of Sheffield Wednesday and Derby, I'm also concerned in the fact that if the EFL win, on the flip side, they're right, and they win the, you know, they get justice for fighting these charges also that the clubs are now setting against them, where this will leave them in the league if there's points deductions in place. You know, if it's anything between a 12 and 21 point deduction, then both Sheffield Wednesday and Derby straight away could be fighting a relegation battle. So yeah, for me, it's I know it's a waiting game, but I'm really intrigued to see what the outcome is in all these cases. And we've said it before, and I'll say it again, but neither of these sides will be the first or the last. It's going to continue to the extent down all the leagues, and you know, it's creeping up that more and more clubs are going to be fighting EFL charges, because I'm sure that most clubs aren't willing to accept them now. But moving into the next topic, Jake, I want to know, obviously, this last few weeks or months, should I say, we recorded probably 3-4 weeks back, and we were saying how West Brom and Leeds were, you know, at one point 10-11 points clear of third, and you know, could they be caught, and you know, could they even go on to break records with a points tally? You know, now, let's say 3-4 weeks later, both sides have hit a terrible run of form, where they've, you know, only managed to scrape 2-3 points in the last 6 games. Do you think now that either Leeds United or West Brom can be caught? There's only 3 points in it from second to third, which is Fulham. And also with the transfer window as it is at the minute, and I know Leeds have brought in a few signings, is this now their get out clause to confirm, you know, automatic promotion? Or can you really see, you know, a few of those top six clawing it back? What's your thoughts on that?
I think, you know, we're a little bit premature in saying that they were both going to go up. I don't think either of them are guaranteed of that now. But the past week would make me more confident for both teams into what went up, what has gone on for them. Obviously, starting with West Brom, they got an FA Cup win against West Ham, and knocking out a Premier League club like that can do wonders for the confidence, especially given Billich made a few changes for it. Just gets the winning feeling back, gives a huge, you know, confidence boost to the players, and it gives them a taste of what maybe getting back into Premier League will do for them. Some of those players weren't there when they were in the Premier League, and it's just a taste of it, and I think they'll want to stick with that and to get it back on a permanent basis. So I think that's going to be a huge positive for them. And if you look at their upcoming fixtures, I think they got Cardiff away at the weekend, which, you know, Cardiff on their day can be a tricky game, but you'd think West Brom would be the favourites, and they follow it up with a home game against Luton, so that they're two winnable games. If they win those two, then they're right back on track. Obviously, Leeds, they've had some time off with the FA Cup not being in it, which I think is a positive for the squad. Give a lot of the players some rest, and I think that'll be crucial. And then obviously today, recorded on Monday, they've announced the signing of Augustine from RB Leipzig on loan. Obviously, was at Monaco at the start of the season, hasn't played a lot, only played 10 times in Ligue 1, 8 times as a substitute. But looking back before then, he's played for Leipzig in the Champions League. He's scored in the Champions League. He's scored goals in Europa League in his sort of main season at Leipzig in the 2017-2018 season. He got 9 goals and 5 assists for one of the top teams in the league, and he only played 1,273 minutes. So he's averaging a goal or an assist under every 90 minutes. So he's averaging every 90 minutes, which is huge, and shows the quality he has. So I think it's a bit of a coup that he's gone to Leeds. I don't think he would have went there if Bielsa wasn't manager. I think he's a player that will suit him well, and could finally be the end of Bamford in the starting 11, which I think Leeds supporters are starting to call for. I think they know that he's not the player that will get them into the top flight, and this could be a statement signing, though. Could be have a similar impact to what Ruben Neves did at Wolves. Alternatively, he might be slow to get to grips of English football, and it might be a slow burn for him, but you think that he is a player that has a lot of quality and should probably be playing higher than the Championship. So this could be a big one for Leeds. It could be the thing that fires them to promotion, because I think we both agree that striker is probably what they're missing between the best team in this league or maybe missing out on promotion. It could make that much of a difference. So yeah, I'd be more confident if I was a supporter of either club today, I think.
Definitely, I completely agree. I think we've said this last few weeks, haven't we, that, you know, Leeds United and West Brom are the best two in the division. There's only Brentford, really, that I could say could get into that top two, potentially. And we also did say that West Brom, you know, currently on a dip, but it is their first dip of the season. You've got to remind yourself they've only lost three games this season, and two of those have come in the last four fixtures. So for me, yeah, West Brom, the dips come at the right time, and now they've got the opportunity to get right out of it in their next fixture, like you say, with the teams they've got to play. And for me, West Brom will still go up this season. Leeds, for me, again, they've done exactly what they needed to do at the right time in terms of the transfer window. I've said all season on this podcast for the last 4 or 5 months that, you know, the transfer window can be a get-out clause for teams in the relegation zone, teams pushing playoffs, and teams in the top two. Again, Leeds probably were on their dip at the right time. And now, like you say, Bamford's potentially not the right answer. They brought Augustine in. Bielsa is probably the only manager in this division that, you know, could have brought a player like that in. So again, he's proven his worth as a manager, in, you know, and the players that he attracts. And, you know, I think if Leeds hadn't brought a player in, you know, come the end of the window, in many ways it would have been a catastrophe, and I could really have seen a Fulham or a Forest or a Brentford catching Leeds. But now, you know, they brought Augustine in, a player of that calibre. Even if he is slow off the mark, like you say, we've still, there's still, you know, Bamford to play. That they can still win games with the team they've got. You know, they're only on a dip, and I'm again pretty sure that they'll get out of that. So yeah, they've certainly made the right move, and you know, it's not just a player for bringing in a player either. It's a player with lots of quality. He'll be wanting to prove himself, and I'm sure he's come to Leeds because, you know, potentially, you know, with the deals that, you know, are probably in place, he'll be wanting to play in the Premier League with Leeds United as well. So that's interesting. And not to mention, they've also brought in Ian Pereira from Manchester City. I know, you know, he's probably not going to be straight in the first team. He's more one for the future, only about 21-year-old, but again, active in the market, and it's exactly what Leeds United needed to do. So yeah, West Brom and Leeds for me can be caught by like the likes of Brentford, who'd be my favourites, but they've certainly, you know, given themselves a better opportunity with a transfer Leeds have brought in, and for me, West Brom will still go up, and they're just on a minor dip at this stage. But that takes us into thoughts and feelings, Jake. So you can basically pick any side of your choice that you'd like to talk about at this time for any particular reason whatsoever.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, okay. I think this week I'm going to go for QPR, I think, and my team following that win over Leeds. I think they deserve a little bit more focus on them. Been such a weird team this year under Warburton. I think they've been pretty solid. Definitely been improvements from the Steve McLaren era. But you just look at their results: 28 games, 11 wins, 12 losses, 5 draws. Like, they're so inconsistent. They can go and beat Leeds one day, and then go and get easily beaten the next. It was only a few weeks ago they lost 3-1 to Brentford, lost 2-1 to QPR, lost 1-0 to Reading. Drew to Charlton. You just think if they'd have beaten Charlton, Reading, and Hull, they'd be up pushing the playoffs. It's just that inconsistency that they have. Big reason for that is the types of players they have. You've obviously got Bright Samuel, Eze, Elias Chair, all very talented players that can make things happen on their day. They're great to watch, but you know, they're still young and they're still learning the game, and I think that shows in some of the inconsistency. But it's not a surprise that you've got a lot of Premier League clubs going to watch QPR this season and keeping an eye on those players. I think Eze is obviously the pick of the bunch. But yeah, he's been excellent. I think it's important to talk about QPR today because they've had Naki Wells recalled. I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
He scored a lot of goals for them this season. He's recovered from his time at Burnley, having a few loan spells. It seems like QPR's really suited him. He's got 13 goals in 26 appearances, 3 assists. It's been a really good start for him, and he's going to be one to follow for the rest of this transfer window because I think he's probably unlikely to stay at Burnley. There's interest from Bristol City in him. I think QPR are talking about doing a permanent deal for him. If they manage to do that, that'd be a massive deal for them. But it'd be interesting to see what impact that does have on QPR going forwards because I think it will do. Another thing just to make a note of is that they brought Jack Clark in this month from Spurs on loan, but obviously he's more well known for what he's done at Leeds. Only played once this season. I think that was slightly tied up in the loan rules and how many loan players they're allowed. But last year we saw what he could do with Leeds. Coming off the bench, he had so many occasions where he made a big impact and turned games around. Got 2 goals and 2 assists from the bench for Leeds last season. And there was just a lot of talent when you're watching. It's obvious why Tottenham made the move for him. And playing this QPR team, I think it'll be really freeing for him. I think he could have a big impact over the next few months. So, yeah, I think they're really it's an exciting time to be a QPR fan. I don't think they're going to be challenging for promotion anytime soon, but I think you can watch good football there, see good young players, and these young players are getting a chance. And I think that, you know, if this carries on for 2-3 years, they're probably bringing a lot of money and maybe they can then strengthen for that promotion push.
Yeah, certainly. I think it's definitely a important time in their season this next week. And like you say, with Wells being recalled and if they can get any players over the line. But at the same time, it's important that they keep Eberechi Eze. So, yeah, good luck to QPR this season. And they are definitely one of the best teams to watch in terms if you want to see goals this season with the amount that they've scored and conceded. But my thoughts and feelings, I'm going to go with Fulham this week. Fulham currently sat third. And that's why I want to talk about them. If we go back to when they were relegated from the Premier League, really, I think, you know, many teams probably wrote Fulham off, even coming down with Scott Parker in charge. And I think that it deserves a pat on the back, really, because in many ways he's come into this division. They were inconsistent when they started the season. You know, they were around halfway, 10th, 11th for the first few months. And slowly but surely they've managed to creep up and creep up really behind Leeds United. We talked earlier that they're only 3 points behind Leeds now. I know they've played an extra game. But again, credit where it's due. I think that they've kind of, you know, since the beginning of the season, people may have said Fulham were one of the promotion favourites. Other people would have said they'd have struggled. But now that they're sat in third position, they've kind of gone under the radar a little bit and they've put themselves in a fantastic position. And not only that, while we're talking about the transfer window, they got their business done early. I'm not sure if they're expecting to bring anyone else in, but they obviously confirmed Cavallero on a permanent deal for the, you know, a reasonable sum of money. But not only that, we probably tend to forget that they got Michael Hector as well, which was already done, you know, 3-4 months back now, but confirmed in January. So he's fitting nicely into central defence. And he had a fantastic season with Sheffield Wednesday last year. So Fulham, for me, they've also strengthened. And again, one to look out for the remainder of the season. And, you know, just with a little bit of luck, they could really, you know, push Leeds United all the way. I'm not saying that they will go up this season, but you've got to class them as firm, you know, contenders for the playoffs now, especially like we mentioned, the likes of Mitrovic and Ukernis, Cavallero, etc., and the amount of strength and depth that they had got, and a lot of Premier League experience. So yeah, my thoughts and feelings this week, Fulham. But that takes us into previews and predictions, Jake. So going into Saturday, the 1st of February, 12:30 kickoff, it would be Hull City versus Brentford. What's your prediction for that one?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Jared Bowen's still at the club at this point. I'd probably say he will be, based on what seems to be happening at the moment. But that'll be a huge boost for Hull. But I think it's going to be a good game. I think Brentford have shown their ambition by, you know, playing a weakened team in the FA Cup. It seems they are really going for this promotion push. You know, got a big game tomorrow night as we record against Nottingham Forest. That's a huge one. But, you know, I think I'd expect them to go in Hull and win. Probably think they're going to beat Forest as well. I think this could be a really good win for Brentford. I think that the front three are going to be well rested. I think they're going to, you know, they've got their focus fully on the promotion now, and I think they're going to benefit from that. So, yeah, if I'm going to tip a Brentford win, I'm going to go 2-1 Brentford.
Yeah, I am. I've got 2-1 down as well. The only way I can see Hull getting anything from this, like always, is if Grisicki and Bowen are on fire. You know, we know they're capable of getting assists and goals, and, you know, Hull can get something. But in terms of quality and on the day, I've got to go with Brentford based on how good they are and where they are sat in the league. So, yeah, 2-1 for me also. That takes us into a couple of 3 o'clock kickoffs. Nearing the bottom of the table, Charlton versus Barnsley. What's your prediction for that?
Yeah, this is a difficult one to predict. If you'd have asked me a couple of weeks ago, I'd have said Barnsley definitely, but they've really dropped off. You know, they've had lost to Bristol City and Preston in the last couple of the Championship, got beaten at Portsmouth in the FA Cup, although I'm sure they're not going to be too disappointed to be dropping out of that competition. But it's they've hit a you know, they've stalled under Struber, and this could be a huge one. They if Barnsley are to survive, they have to win this game. They don't really have any other option. I think Charlton have been inconsistent. They've not been picking up points for a while, but they seem they keep being able just to nick that draw when you don't expect them to, and that's really keeping them just above the relegation zone. But with, you know, the improvement in Stoke, there's huge pressure on these two teams. Like that, we're not going to have it next season, and both of these teams stay up. I don't think that's going to happen. I think one of them's going to have to go, which makes this a real 6 point. I think I'm going to lean towards Barnsley just because I just have a little bit more faith in Struber. I think things are going to improve. I think he would have learned a lot in the last few weeks. And I think that this is going to be a game that they'll be targeting for points. And I think they'll get them. I'm going to go 1-0 Barnsley, but I think it's going to be a really tight game, and I really, really wouldn't be surprised if it was a draw. But I'm going to lean towards Barnsley just because I think they have to win it.
Yeah, I can see why you've said that, but I'm going to go for the draw, actually. I really think that you've said already that Barnsley cannot lose this one, really, because if they do, they're going to be 9 points behind Charlton, and Stoke are already on that run. It'd only leave Huddersfield, really, that they've got left chase. So yeah, Barnsley will not want to lose this one. In fact, they cannot lose this one. At the same time, Charlton would probably be happy with a point just to keep them 6 points clear of Barnsley. So yeah, I'm going to go for 1-1 in that one. Another 3 o'clock kickoff around the playoffs, two sides in sixth and seventh, is Preston versus Swansea. What's your prediction for this?
Yeah, this can be this is a huge game. I think Preston have been improved in the last few weeks, obviously back-to-back wins in the league. They've had a nice rest as well, so they'll be well rested. Swansea obviously lost to Stoke at the weekend, but, you know, 1 point separates these two teams. Swansea have obviously added that bit of quality this month with Gallagher and Brewster coming in on loan from Premier League clubs. Guehi as well is coming from Chelsea, so be interested to see how those three do there. Preston have done their own bit of strengthening in the window, so they're going to be well up for this as well. Obviously bringing Scott Sinclair in this month, so it's going to be a fascinating game. Scott Sinclair's obviously a former Swansea player, got promoted from the league with them. You know, I've said time and time again on this podcast that I think that Preston at home, I'll always back them. So I think that's what I'm going to have to do here. I'm going to go for the 2-1 Preston win.
Yeah, same again. 2-1 for me as well, simply because Preston at home, we know how good they can be, you know, at home, and they can turn it on their day. Swansea, you know, losing to Stoke most recently. They've been very up and down. I just got a bit more confidence in Preston, especially now they're unbeaten in three games. So, yeah, 2-1 to Preston for me. I'm going to put you on the spot quickly, actually, because I'm intrigued to hear your score predictions, Jake. So if you just want to give me score predictions for two games, a quick one, because it's top versus bottom for both Leeds and Wigan. So Leeds and Wigan, what's your score prediction for that?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 2-0 Leeds.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-0 Leeds. And then in similar fashion, again, top versus bottom, West Brom play Luton. So what's your prediction for this one?
3-1 West Brom.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-0 again. I can see both West Brom and Leeds getting 3-0 victories in theirs. Especially with, you know, like you say, a couple of these teams having time off because of the FA Cup. And I think, yeah, they'll both go on a decent run of form now. But with that, we're out of time, Jake. So if you'd like to let our listeners know where they can find you, now be a good time.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at Jake Jack with two N's. I post anything I do on there. I was on the Premier League show this week as well. That was quite a good discussion on the FA Cup and whether we should keep replays. So it's a little bit championship oriented as well. So give that one a listen.
Yeah, thanks, Jake, for that. And I've been your host at Lewis Shackshaft on Twitter. But more importantly, please follow the show at Championship Pod. We upload and post each show to our pinned tweets, so you can always check them out as they are tweeted. But please subscribe also if you haven't already done so. We want to thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.